raise your hand. The ushers will get you one. If you're new to the Wednesday nights or new to Victory, we're studying the entire New Testament this entire year, covering the whole New Testament, cover to cover, and hopefully to help all of us to learn to be skillful in the Word of God. And I want to encourage you to go back over the stuff that you can. All the tape or all the messages are online on our website, as well as all of the notes. So they're there for your convenience and for your edification. So make sure you follow through with that. Tonight we start the study of the book of Galatians. And we're going to just kind of introduce it tonight, and then we have three more weeks to cover the book. I kind of wrote on your notes the whole first chapter. Of course, the author of the book of Galatians is Paul. The purpose of the book was to defend his apostleship to the church of Galatia and to expose the lies of the legalism of the Judaizers. Now, the Judaizers were Christians that came behind Paul when he left an area to try to put people back under the demands of the law. In other words, they believed that you could not become righteous through faith, that Gentiles, the Gentile Christians, had to also, in a sense, come under the rule of Judaism or to follow the law in order to be righteous. And Paul also wrote to reaffirm salvation by grace through faith. Chapter 1, of course, 1 through 24, the first verse, Paul, of course, says, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. So the first thing Paul's endeavoring to do is to reestablish his authority, or to establish his God-given authority into the church that he planted. You see, because people undermined and came behind him. One of the greatest dangers in the Christian life is when you're moved away from the Word of God. I'll give you an example of that here in a little while. That's just a relevant thing to today. But it's very easy to be moved away from the standards of God's Word. And the Judaizers had a good reason. They thought that the law of Moses was righteous, and they were right. But they also thought that it produced righteousness. And so they came immediately, not just in Galatia, but they followed Paul in many places to come and undermine faith in him and him alone. It was faith in Christ and Paul spent a lot of his time dealing with that. Verse 2, he talks about, and all the brothers with me and to the churches at Galatia, he said, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Then he said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which really is no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. So the influence of the Judaizers were causing the church of Galatia to turn away from the grace of Christ and turn to a different gospel. The word gospel means good news. He said, which is no good news at all, because when you're being put back under the law, that's not good news. That's condemnation to death. Paul called justification by the works of the law a perversion of the gospel. And he went on to qualify by saying, if even an angel from heaven should preach another gospel other than the one we preached to you, let him be eternally condemned. He said, it doesn't matter who comes to you with what they come with, whether it be their education, whether it be their spiritual experiences, and they bring you another message other than what I've taught you from Revelation. He said, listen to what he said. He said, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you've accepted, let him be eternally condemned. That's strong language, isn't it? Why? Because what he's saying to these, he's saying there are people trying to take you out of Christ. And when Christ is not the Lord of your life, when you are now made righteous by the law, and it's not that these believers alone, he's talking about people that they could influence. He's also referring to, instead of the gospel now being preached, a perversion of the gospel will be preached. And to those who it's preached, you actually, in their endeavor to keep the law, condemn them. Because that's what the law would do. And so Paul was very, very adamant about it. And you'll see as we get through the book of Galatians, he went through some serious, he talked real plainly to these folks. Verse 10, he said, I'm trying to win the approval of men, or am I Am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? Am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And he's authenticating the origin of his message and his gospel. In the latter part of that verse, he talks about him being a Jew, a strong Jew, and now he's called by grace. He formerly persecuted the church, and now they praise God on the behalf of his deliverance. And what Paul is actually doing is introducing the book, authenticating his apostleship, and he's dealing with an issue in the church, an issue of serious doctrinal error. But if you'll notice some of the things that Paul even said, he said, if I want to please men, then I would not be the servant of Jesus Christ. There are two extremes today. And I think we all as humans fall in extremes so easily. The church of Galatia is a group of people who were brought to the kingdom by grace through faith in Christ and began to fall under the works of the law. And they were being perverted to find their righteousness in what they did instead of what Christ did for them. And so what you find in our Christian culture today are two extremes. A legalism, which puts you like the Judaizers would do. And the Judaizers aren't dead, by the way. They don't come preaching the law of Moses in the sense of putting you under a Jewish custom. But Judaizers, the spirit of that is anybody that tries to put you into righteousness through works. But you go right on the other extreme of that today, and what do you find? You find now everything's okay. And I'm going to deal. Let me talk to you about an issue to illustrate it. Today, President Obama endorsed gay marriage. And someone mentioned to me that I'd put a post on Facebook about it. And I want to show you the extremes where you take a subject like that. And I just know 25 years ago, a Christian would not have had to wonder about homosexuality. Would you agree? I mean, that would not have been an issue in the church. Correct? I mean, that's not subjective. That's just a fact. However, I want to show you how in the name of God being good, we now cast God in an image that he isn't. All right, here's all I wrote. Today, President Obama announced support for gay marriage. While I know that Jesus died for all and the job of the church is to bring the gospel to everyone and love the world. Without Christ, in the manner in which Jesus did. I grieve that an American president has made such an ungodly declaration. I pray God's mercy and grace upon our nation, and I pray for President Obama and those that surround him. May the church have the wisdom to love and serve all with the gospel, but not be conformed to the image of this world. The band Jethro Tull had an album band back cover in the 70s that read, God created man in his own image, and we return the favor. If you add this to this post, please write in an honorable manner about our president, regardless of how you feel about his views. Now, to me, that's stating that's a biblical position. Now, the people that follow me on Facebook, I'm sure many are not believers, but I would tell you most are. And here's listen to the post. This is what makes legalistic people go legalistic. You don't fight the side of perverting the gospel or perverting who God is by becoming legalistic. You don't fight a group of people. And in fact, I think the post was pretty clear that we have a responsibility to love all people. And it's not my job to manage the behavior of people, but to bring the gospel to them. But right on the other hand, as a Christian, it's not unloving to do what God says. It's not unloving to say adultery is wrong. It's not unloving, it's true. It's not unloving to say homosexuality is not God's plan for man. It is unloving to say God does not love and care for people who have that sexual issue in their life. And so I'm trying to illustrate to you tonight. iPhone work. Why do you feel that way? I thought God loved all people. Well, he does love all people, but it has nothing to do with godliness. He already covered that. God loves the sin, but abhors the sin. You cannot change over. This is goes on. Really, John, How would your view be if one of your beautiful children was born attracted to the same sex of to no fault of his or her own? As much as I don't understand gay, I have two amazing sons with beautiful girlfriends. And other than what other thing would change my view if they were born gay? I've seen so many children raised in a home where mom and the father had no business even being parents. I would rather see a child with two amazing mothers or two loving fathers as to some childhoods that I've seen destroyed. But religion and politics have always been two of the same. God bless all our children. I agree. God bless all of our children. But it is not God's plan for two men to be parents because they can't. Listen, if gay people can procreate in their sexual union, have babies. Have all the babies you want. But two gay women and two gay men, you can't procreate. It is impossible. It takes the sperm and the egg, male and female. Now, I'm not putting anybody down for it, but I'm trying to give you just a quick illustration of how the culture goes to one of two extremes. Christians who have bashed homosexuals and basically said the gospel doesn't even apply to you unless you change. I don't know if you've ever met somebody that struggles with their sexuality. It's not simple and it's not easy. And it's not a simple thing where you just say, well, just change because you love Jesus. It is not that simple. And it is difficult to present Christ in that light to people. Because he asks no one to change before they can come to Christ. God doesn't clean fish until he catches them. Amen? And Jesus died for everybody, straight, gay, whatever. I don't even know all the names there are today. But there are some brokenhearted and desperate people. Yet, the church of Galatia went to the legalism side. And if you look at the church today, it's typically one of two extremes. People who think by being angry and mean and downgrade human beings are going to change them. And then people on the other side, God loves everybody. And so who are you to judge? Well, I'm not anyone to judge, and nor are you. But the Bible tells you adultery is wrong. Now, I understand you're married and you don't need God for that, I hope. But it's wrong for a reason. God set things in order for a reason. I'm not going to pretend to understand all the nuances of a person's sexuality. But I'm also not going to pretend when there's a dysfunction that it's normal. If a child is born with a disease in their body, do we simply say what? Well, they were born that way, so let them suffer. No, you help that child to the best of your ability. And if for whatever reason you can't mitigate or deal with that illness, you love that child. And I don't care if your child is struggling with homosexuality or they're a murderer. You better love your kid. It doesn't matter what the sin is, you love your child. But the point, again, being that the church of Galatia was struggling in such this manner. Now, let me go on. I don't understand how loving another, regardless of sex, is ungodly. Let me see. Bigotry wrapped in prayer is still bigotry. And it goes on and on. Which it's surprising to me that, and then they quote Mother Teresa somehow. Now, let me say this. Paul said, if I'm going to be a servant of Christ, I can't please men. It doesn't matter if who understands what about God. He's God. And your sexuality, you submit to God as a believer. Amen? That's what you do. It doesn't matter what impulses or temptations you have. And I'm not saying this is as simple as ABC. It's not. And I'm not trying to oversimplify an issue. I'm trying to show you that in light of our culture today, that the church has done like the church of Galatia. One, they've gone into legalism to deal with this issue. How many people who are... See, guys, if you've never talked to somebody bound up or broken up and living in that lifestyle, and I mean get beyond all the political veneer, and you talk to these precious people They're brokenhearted largely. They're desperate. And tens of millions of people have died because of this behavior. This has been detrimental to people that God loves and that people love. And you know what? When someone's entering into a destructive situation and you stand back and say, I don't want to judge you. I wonder how much you love somebody. But there's a great difference in bringing the gospel to somebody and bringing legalism to somebody. How many Christians hold a legalistic view of, let's go on the other side, of homosexuality? If somebody commits adultery, if somebody's a fornicator, that's sex before marriage, but yet they've given their life to Jesus and they fail in that regard, do we do everything we can to restore them? What if somebody's struggling with their sexuality? What about that person? What if they are fighting the good fight and they fail and have a relationship with someone of the same sex? Do they not deserve the same mercy and the same response as the adulterer or the fornicator or the drunkard or the addict or the liar or the one that talks about a person? So there is certainly a balance to it. And the church in Galatia is a perfect example of the church in extreme. Now, we are in two extremes in America. You have legalism and hyper grace is going on all around us. And the Bible deals with both of those issues. And so when we go into the book of Galatians, we're going to talk about the issue of extreme legalism and what the Bible remedy to that is. But the remedy is not, on the other side of the equation, anything is okay because God loves you. It's not okay because it will harm you. It will injure you. And you were made for a higher way of living, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual sin, whether it's whatever it is. And so as we approach this issue, let's always remember, love people. People say love people and hate the sin. I understand that. Just love people. And let God deal with the person. Just preach the gospel and be good to people. But the reality of it is, we don't take the Bible and make it in our own image because of what the media is saying or what somebody. God is God. And in about 70 to 80 years, everybody that has an opinion will get to talk to him face to face. And you won't give a care. At that point, when you see him face to face, all the nonsense and the opinions and the talking heads on television and all those silly opinions will fall by the wayside. And by the way, so will any unloving treatment of people. Because God is God, and I'm so glad he's merciful. And so, thank you for bringing that to my attention. I just made that post, and actually I put the caveat so people wouldn't say unkind things about our president. I forgot about putting the other caveat that, you know, if you're going to make the other persuasion. But isn't it something? That's the Christian world we live in. And it's only going to get darker as the culture gets darker. So what do we do when it gets darker? When sin abounds, grace that much more abounds. We keep preaching the gospel of the grace of God and let God do the work in people's hearts and don't retaliate. And if you do get back on this post, follow me on Facebook or whatever that's called, it's a like page, whatever it is. If you do respond to people who may be gay that are responding to this, and I'm certain there are, please be kind. Please don't say things that are harsh, because Jesus would love to save them and rescue their life, not from homosexuality, but from an eternity without it, because he loves them and he wants to restore their life in every regard. Amen. So praise God. Let's just pray, and then we're going to go into the presence of God in true worship. Remember, he's God. He's God. He's not looking for, God's not voting. God's not interested in my opinion and your opinion. God's not interested in this view and that view and this party and that party and this educator and that uneducator or whatever. He is God. He is to be worshipped. You're here on a Wednesday night. You came on purpose. How many of you had options tonight? Raise your hand. How many of you could have been home sleeping right now and said, thank you, Jesus. So let's go into the presence of God and let's worship him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. This is Wednesday night, okay? This is a time when we're all believers together. This is a time when we worship God. This isn't a time to do restaurant prayer time. Y'all know what I mean? Bible said, lift your voice to him. You can shout to God with the voice of triumph. We're probably 99% all believers tonight. And if you don't know Jesus, hang out with us a little bit. You get a chance to. And worship him with all your heart. You can worship God before you know him. It's a good place to get to know him. And we'll give you an opportunity at the end here to make Jesus the Lord of your life. But as the worship team comes, we're going to go back and sing and worship. We're going to be led by the Spirit of God and minister as he leads us. But I encourage you tonight, would you please do two things? Number one, let go of all the guilt and condemnation that holds you back from worshiping God. How many of you are glad the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin? Aren't you glad? Thank you, Lord. Say it out loud. He's made me worthy. His blood has purchased me. I can enter boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help me in my time of need. And so you put everything behind you. God said, your sin, your iniquity, I remember no more. That's one thing you have to make a decision to do if you're going to get in the presence of God. Number two, you're going to have to act. You're here on a Wednesday night, you might as well get all you came for. Worship God. And by the way, so I'm not one of those kind of people. You're here, and everyone thinks you are. So you might as well get in on it, all right? Some of you may have never lifted your hand in a church service to worship God. The Bible tells us to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and worship him. It's an act of surrender. He is saying, with your body, your posture, I surrender my life to you. And that's the reason you raise your hands. It's not because, you know, you need to stretch. And it's not, no one's pointing a gun in a church, okay? It's a surrender. So as we go into the presence of God, let's stand together. And let's worship our God tonight with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, of our strength. And we're going to spend some extended time in his presence. And we'll wait on the Lord and see what he has for us. Let's worship him together. Come on up here anyway. No one will bite you. Just come on up and fill in as tight as you can. We're going to worship God together. Now really, if you don't, you're welcome to stay seated. No one will bother you. Do your best just to kind of fill into the front so folks can fit if you're kind of standing back there. As we just come in the presence of God tonight, I want to encourage you. And this keeps coming up in my heart. Just a yielding to God in our lives. Sometimes times of worship are times of consecration to God. Times when you up. There's things that God's been dealing with you about. Not for you to go back and search in the eons of past. Something you think God's remembered that he's... No, no, no. Things you know God's been dealing with you about. You guys can just keep pushing all the way over that way and let folks get in as best we can. And we can't fit you in, that's okay. Just kind of squeeze it up the aisles the best you can. We'll be all right. If you're claustrophobic, that's all right. You'll be all right. We'll pray for you. You're all right. You're fine there. That's good. God, do this for me, would you? Would you just forget about everybody, everything around you? Like in the Old Testament, they had an altar for a reason. They would come before a place, and it would be a memorial before God. It would be a place they would mark where God would deal with them about things. All of us in this room have things God's dealing with our hearts about. Not, that doesn't mean sin. It can be things you're having to overcome. But there's things God's dealt with you about that you flirted with them, you've kind of laid them on the side. And tonight I want you in this time of worship to take that thing that you know God has put in your heart either to do or to stop doing. And I want you to reach into his presence, not to make a decision that I promise I'll never whatever. No, I want you to reach into his presence and ask him for his power and his grace to enable you. To enable you. You don't do this on your own as a Christian. You don't have that power. I don't have that power. You don't walk out a righteous Christian life by your own will. You yield to the power of God that's in you. And that power is greater in you than anything in your past, anything you've ever failed to do, anything anyone's ever failed to do for you. He is greater in you than he that's in the world. And God has an amazing plan for your life. We're going to yield to him. If they continue to worship, if you want to sing, that's fine. But would you just please forget about everything around you? That thing that's in you, that part of you. And again, it's not necessarily something wrong. It might be something in your heart God has just, man, been dealing with you about. And you've drawn back from it. You've flirted with it. You've pushed it away. Yield to God tonight in that regard. Ask him for the grace to make that step. Trust him for the enablement to do it. Let's just go into his presence tonight. Continue to worship. Father, we lay these things before you. We don't look to ourselves. We certainly can't make ourselves righteous. And we do not have the strength in ourselves to walk with you in uprightness. Your empowerment, your grace is sufficient. And Lord, those things you're dealing with people about in their heart. Those things that keep coming up. That we just flirt with, or we lay aside, or we pick up, that we need to lay down. I ask you tonight that we yield ourselves to you and that we receive grace to help us in our time of need. Your enablement to do what we could never do without you, whether it's to lay down something destructive or to pick up something helpful, to go toward an activity that you've called us to do for others, or to lay one down that's hurting us or other people. We can't do it on our own, Lord. We're not here to make promises. We're here to receive promises. We're here to yield to the grace that you are in us. So right where you're at right now, as they continue to sing, you just pour your heart out to God. You pray right where you're at, and you pour that thing out to God. And let him do a work in your soul tonight. Let's just worship the Lord. Go ahead. Let they sing behind you. Go ahead and deal with it. Really, tonight's a time when, in my heart, I just sense it so strongly. It's not this great thing you're going to do tomorrow. It's a decision to yield to God. It's a decision to say yes to that. It's a decision to say your grace is more than enough to enable me to bring that to pass, for you to bring that to pass in my life. And those simple steps that you make starting tonight, and every step that's available to you, just take it. It may seem small and insignificant, or it may seem difficult, but take the steps. And every time you step in God in faith, you step right into enablement. You step right into grace and a supply that you didn't have before you step. Don't wait for the supply before you act. Just step into that realm, into that thing. And I'm not talking about quitting your job and going to do it. I'm not talking about extreme things. I'm talking about those unctions on the inside. God prompts you and prompts you. And you say, well, that's just me. That's just who I am. No, it's not. It's the greater one on the inside of you prompting you. And as you yield to that, there'll be more grace. The Bible talks about the manifold grace of God, the many-sided, many-faceted grace of God. There's grace sufficient for every part of the body to function. So as you yield in tonight, I want us to, next song, just whatever you're playing, just something real worshipful and almost like a hymn-style worship. I mean, something soft. Because I want you to, right where you're at, in this time of just sing and worship, to now no longer make the yield of God, I want to yield to you. I want you to thank him now. Calmly, not where you're trying to make God do something. Calmly. Oh, Lord, I thank you. It's mine. I thank you that your grace is already sufficient for me. That grace is in my life. You've already distributed it to me. I'm going to yield to it. Thank you for that grace. I have it now. I will yield to it. I trust your grace is sufficient for me. So right where you're at right now, as they worship, just between you and God, you just tell him from your heart how you trust his enablement. Don't magnify what you did wrong, what you shouldn't have done, what you could have done, what you would do. Just begin to magnify that his grace is available to you. Begin to thank him that it's yours, and you have it now, and you'll yield to it. Let's just go ahead and do that as they worship. Lord, we thank you for that. I yield to that grace. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It keeps coming up in my heart. Please don't spiritualize and over-spiritualize this. It's the small steps of obedience that you take in God, yielding to his grace, that will take you to the places you belong. These things don't happen in a weekend. They don't happen in a day. they start one step at a time. In a year or 6 months pass or a year and a half, and you find yourself in a place in your walk with God, you find yourself in your place in life, where you think, I can't believe God's got me this. I can't believe that my hands are a part of this and whatever this is for you. And you'll look back and you'll try to figure out how you got there, and you'll think, well, and you won't be able to track it. You won't be able to connect all the dots, because there will be divine enablement. And you'll add, God is called supernatural for a reason, but it requires natural. Adding, God's the super, we're the natural. And it's that simple decision to yield. Not to what some grand thing somebody thinks you ought to think about what you ought to do. That's something in you. That you know what it is. No one has to tell you. You don't have to read a book about it. You have it in you. You've been prompted probably hundreds of times about it. You may have just ignored it. It's so common to you. Or you've just said, that's for someone else. No, it's for you. And as you yield to that, His grace is sufficient. That's what the Scripture says. To each and every one of us, grace has been given according to the measure of Christ's gift. A portion of the grace on Jesus has been apportioned to you and me. And yielding to it, it makes all the difference in the world. So I just want to encourage you tonight. No matter where you find yourself, no matter what your struggle may be, maybe your fight tonight is that maybe it's just something trying to dog your tracks, a behavior, or whatever. His grace is sufficient. If God's dealing with you about something, I promise you, there's more than sufficient enablement from God to put you over. And when you yield to Him and you submit yourself to Him, you'll find a strength and a power that is not of human origin. And He will do things in your life and my life, as imperfect as we are, as frail as our human makeup is. God is faithful. God is faithful. That's why He said, because of what Jesus did, come boldly, not timidly, boldly to the throne of grace, where you might obtain mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. So as we just sing this through one more time, just settle it in your heart that you're going to act. Don't leave here making 5,000 promises to God. Don't leave here saying, No. That simple step, the next step. Lord, I promise you I'll make that step. I'm going to yield to your grace, and I know your power will be there. And then you'll make the next one and the next one and the next one. And some of you, 5, 10 years from now, you won't imagine where God's taking you. And more importantly, where He's taking the people that you love and the people you were meant to impact with your life. Because it matters what you do with your life. You are vitally important to the operation of God's kingdom on the earth. Every last one of us. Amen? So please yield to that. Let's sing this through one more time, whatever's in y'all's heart to sing. And let's just worship Him one time through again. Be yield to Him. Trying to do things in our own strength and yield to your power. Your grace is more than sufficient. And when we fail, help us to know that you love us. And your mercies from everlasting to everlasting. You pick us up. If we just turn, your mercy, your blood cleanses us. We have fellowship with you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. You are faithful. So, Father, we yield ourselves to you tonight. We thank you for your grace in our life. And, Lord, we just look ahead through the eye of faith. And we just give you thanks for the great things you'll do. As your grace to your glory is revealed through your people. In Jesus' name. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. Because we were taking Wednesdays to do these type of meetings, and we'll just cut one of them. We'll just abbreviate the teaching and get right over into this, because we want to stay on track with the teaching on the New Testament. And I do just really do want to encourage you, if you do follow me on Facebook, I think that's, is that how you call it? What's my page? It's something you don't follow. What's it? It's a like page.
You like it. Like
what's
my
it called?
Page.
A what?
Like Pastor John's page.
Oh, you're a public figure. Oh, I'm a public figure. I'm one of those. Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, you're a public figure.
I'm a public figure.
So they're going to follow your page.
Okay, if you do, and you do comment about this issue, I really do, because I promise you there'll be people that somehow this will get around, and I didn't know that it would cause a little firestorm. Or Michelle said, if you do comment, be very kind and polite, and say kind things about good people, okay? And if it gets ugly, I'll just have to delete the whole thing.
Unless the comment is about Pastor John himself.
No, that's all right. That'll come too, but that's all right. I'm around Steve Moore. I know abuse very well, so it's okay. But God, it's just awesome to be in the presence of God. I just want to encourage you. Take just this simple time in the presence of God. You know, you can do this at home. You can do this in the shower. You can do this in your car. It doesn't require a feeling. It just says, Lord, I yield to your grace. When that moment comes and you feel the backup or the push away or the temptation or whatever it is, say out loud to the Lord, right now I yield. I yield to that grace that's more than sufficient. And I'm telling you, you'll step into an enablement that will take you places you never dreamed of, will take you away from things you never thought you could get away from. If this church is proof of anything, God's grace is sufficient. My goodness, it's a proof. Amen. Glory to God. Especially with Steve Moore here. Amen.
That's right. Go ahead, man. All right. We're going to worship God with our giving here in just a few minutes. And so offering envelopes are in the seat pocket in front of you. Make sure you use this if you're giving by cash, because that is a record of your giving, and fill that out completely. If you happen to be a guest tonight, there's a white card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you'll fill this out, what you do is at the end of the service here, just a few minutes, take it outside the doors, give it to the worker at the information desk. And they're going to give you a CD from Pastor John, but with that CD, there's a coupon for the cafe. And that's good for a free beverage for you and everyone that's with you tonight. Let's give our guests a warm welcome. Again, thanks so much for coming out. And thank you so much for your faithfulness in giving. And I just want to encourage you, continue to be faithful in your giving. God always, always, always shows himself faithful. Amen. Let's take your offerings in our hand. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. Thank you as we bring these tithes, these offerings, these gifts to you tonight. Father, first of all, we choose to worship you this evening and to bless you with a part of our lives with this money. Father, we thank you for the privilege of giving. Father, tonight we choose to be givers. We choose, Father God, to bring this money to you, to partner together with you, to see people's lives changed as a result of our giving. Thank you for that privilege. Father, I thank you for blessing and prospering your people as we give. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As the offering's been received, let me give you just a few things. And again, if you missed this, there's a couple of different announcements here. If you missed this, just call the church and give the information to you. One thing, the girlfriend's coffee break, which you may not even know about, but the coffee break.